broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have, are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Thursdays right here. Chris Landry joins us, LandryFootball.com. We'll let you know how you can get all his information that is all-encompassing: college football, pro football, recruiting, the draft, coaching news. If it's out there, he's covering it. Chris, how you been, sir?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I am good. Couple things here right out of the chute. Is Joe Brady, the young hotshot offensive passing coordinator at LSU, a threat to leave?
No, they've got a deal. They've been working on a deal. They have something in terms of money, in terms of title, how they're going to put it in place. Listen, you never say never because you never know what something might right. be thrown out there that's totally unexpected. But, you know, he's not leaving for another coordinator job in college. I think long range he'll probably move. But, no, he is expected to stay, and I don't think they'll be done with a title and commensurate money.
Chris, does Ensminger call the running plays and Brady call the passing plays? How does that work?
No, actually, Steve calls the plays.
Okay.
The way it works is really Joe has never called plays, so he's really more of the pass game designer, and he really is involved in the whole concept and the preparation of the game plan each week. Steve Ensminger's a little bit more, and Joe Brady's a little bit more comfortable with having Steve kind of taking that role of calling plays. But what's happened during the course of the year is there's a series or a time where, you know, particularly between series, we'll say, all right, look, Steve will say, you got it here. You take it. So there's a little bit of, you know, okay, well, what do you think about this and this? And, that's great. Let's do it. And they've had a lot of games in which they've been ahead. So he'll give them a series to do. So he's got his foot wet into calling plays. I think he's certainly capable of doing it. But he's been really comfortable kind of being the riding side saddle with Ensminger in doing it. But I don't think Steve gets enough credit for the fact that he has just humbled himself to be a part of it. Here's a guy that's 60 years old, a guy that's barely 30 years old, and he's the hotshot guy, and he's just, you know, kind of looks at him as a son, grooming him, and yet realizing this is a guy that knows a lot more about the modern passing game than I, and I want him involved. So it's worked out very well.
Lane Kiffin, what kind of threat does he now present to the SEC West, recruiting and on the field?
Well, he's a good recruiter. We'll see in terms of what type of a threat. I'm curious to see because I think he's got really good offensive concepts. The first thing I'm looking is obviously with signing day a week away, what he can pull together. It is the one. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but the one bad thing about this signing day in December is, basically, you can't really do anything if you're a new coach. You just have to hold a class together, and there's not much you can do. But I think he can have a real impact in recruiting, but it's certainly going to be tied to the staff that he puts together. That's the first thing. The other thing I think that he will be better at. You know, a lot of the thing with Lane and knowing Lane pretty well and knowing his dad real well, the problems that Lane has had in the past, you know, he, I think, now gets it that being a head coach is more than just calling plays. And I think he's, you know, the experiences that he's had recently and certainly at Alabama, I think has helped him understand it. And I think that's why he's become a better head coach. He's actually admitted as such publicly that, you know, some of the mistakes that he made that probably cost him are things he learned from. So I think he'll do pretty well. I think he'll do real well, actually. But I'm very curious to see if he can match some of the recruiting classes that Hugh Freeze had. And that certainly would determine whether he's able to match some of the upsets that they were able to put. I'm excited for the program that they were able to pull it off because I think certainly brings a lot of excitement. We'll see if he can follow through with it.
Vol Nation says, Bill, ask Chris if he sees any departures off the Tennessee staff.
I do see the potential of a couple after signing day. I do, but I haven't heard anything definite. So I'm not saying, oh yeah, I'm hearing that this guy and that guy, but I would think there might be some consideration for a couple of the guys, but I think it might happen like a lot of these will happen after next week or so.
What if we just took the 130 D1 teams and just put them all together, would the average number of departures off of staff every year, it'd be at least a couple, wouldn't it, every year?
Well, yeah, let's throw out the ones that don't have a complete change, like a whole coaching staff, because
right,
that would put the number up a little bit higher. There usually is. There's some that, you know, over time, I think there's more of that than ever before, quite frankly, because it used to be that the old days of like the Nebraska staffs, you know, Coach Osborne staff and Coach Paternal staff, and, you know, where you'd have guys that were there for 22, 26, 32 years. You don't have that anymore, of course. But, yeah, I probably would say that it's an average would be pretty accurate.
Chad Morris going to Auburn to be the coordinator. Was that a good move, and will Gus actually let him do his thing?
Well, no, I expect Gus to call the plays. What I think is positive potentially about it is that Chad is going to be the quarterback coach and can work with Bo Nix, and I think he is someone that Gus will listen to more because they go back so far and they think alike, and I think that maybe Chad could provide some things into that offense, maybe help the passing game grow a little bit more. But look, I'd be, you know, Gus is on record saying he's as long as he's going to be a coach again, he's not going to give up play calling because he felt that was a mistake. So good, bad, or indifferent as you think that might be, I think he'll call the plays, but we'll see how that plays out. But I think it's the relationship there is one that I think, because they think more alike, and now with the head coaching experience, that could be something that'll positive. I mean, nothing against the Rhett Lashleys of the world that are young guys that are just there to service what Gus is. Chad can be much more of a sounding board to Gus and somebody that Gus will listen to and take to heart what he says more.
Do you like the Coach Norvell hire at Florida State?
Yeah, I like it. Like it a lot. I thought at the very beginning and talking with those folks, I thought it was a really, really outstanding hire in a guy that is young, energetic, good recruiter, good developer of staffs. You know, they will be, my opinion, I think they'll be very organized, very well coached. I think whatever that program has in it, meaning their resources and what they're able to put into it, Mike will be able to get out of it. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to challenge Clemson because they're a long way away from Clemson in terms of how they do things and the financial wherewithal, but you know, the consistently getting out coached, the past couple of years, that I think will take a positive turn upwards. So, to me, you know, the guys that I thought were really good fits that would do a great job would be he or Mark Stoops. And since Mark was more resistant to leaving, considering where the facilities are and where the fundraising has been in the past, and that talk did not go very well, I thought Mike was the ideal fit. And a lot of the other, you know, smoke and mirror conversations about, you know, different guys that were basically just using it for leverage, and quite frankly wouldn't have been as good a fit as Mike is. I think Mike's good. In fact, and this goes to show you too, and this is something I think is really important, coaches sometimes can maybe get the job too early and maybe it doesn't work as good, but sometimes programs, it's just like getting a player with some upside potential. I think it's good with getting upside potential with a coach, because Arkansas could have had Mike Norvell a couple of years ago and probably would be in better shape and wouldn't be in as bad a shape as they are now. Yet, you know, that's a job that he wouldn't been considered, and now he's off to a better job at Florida State, which might be something that Missouri took advantage of, because I think probably in a couple of years, an Eli Drinkwitz would have been a really hot candidate at a bigger program. So he's an up-and-coming guy. So something to keep in mind. I think Florida State got a good one.
Chris, got a couple minutes on the other side?
Sure.
We've got a few questions. One about the Washington State defensive coordinator. Another about Mike Bobo going to South Carolina. Another about Virginia Tech not being able to recruit the 757. Things of that nature. We'll get to Chris on the other side. 615-844-5600. Gog in Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
All right, wrapping it up this afternoon. Still got problems in Bordeaux. Briley Parkway north there at Centennial Boulevard still working the crash. Just up the road at Ashland City Highway in Briley Parkway. Got an accident there. No injuries reported in that one. A couple of cars got together 65 northbound on the north side of town around exit 86. Vietnam veterans stacked up from Goodlettsville out to Hendersonville right now. Very busy out to Dixon County through Kingston Springs this afternoon. Headed home to Murfreesboro. Traffic's getting a little better on 24 east of town. For Commander Chuck, Mike Powers on time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine. The most romantic steak House in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Lights are twinkling, snows are falling, just like last year, fun is calling. With holiday games, the instant kind, the easiest gift there is to find. So celebrate for just a while with holiday games that'll make you smile. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game changing fun, play responsibly.
Happy holidays, honey.
Ooh, what is it?
Just open it.
Is it a holiday luck instant game?
I don't know.
It sounds like, is that a $20,000 holiday cheer game? Hold up, you didn't. No, do I hear a Merry Money and a holiday gifts instant game? All instant games?
Do you love it?
Best presents ever!
Make every gift a little brighter with holiday instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing holiday celebrating fun. Please play responsibly.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always BBC Closing. Always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
America's first home for college football talk is the Bill King Show.
You jump in front of my car when you're in the middle of the time. 90 miles an hour, girl, is a speed.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, Mike Bobo to South Carolina. Good idea?
Yeah, you know, they've got to figure out, first of all, how to run the football more consistently, get better offensive line play. But Mike has obviously got experience as a head coach and certainly is a good play caller, has been a good play caller. It doesn't solve all their problems there. But, you know, I think a good move for Will to at least get somebody with that experience there.
Joe on Twitter, ask Chris about the defensive coordinator position at Washington State.
Well, I don't know what Mike's going to do. It's probably going to end up being Darcell McBath or Bellatoni on the staff that'll be promoted. There's some good guys in the conference that I think are ready. Joe Salavea or Peter Sermon, Joe Alexander. That's a tough job because, you know, it's a completely differently defined position. It's a very gimmicky offense that puts their defense on the field way too much. They had an outstanding defensive coordinator in Tracy Clays, but you basically got to, you know, submit yourself to the pirate ways of that we're going to throw it 70 times and, you know, defensively we're never going to be very good. So it's where good defensive minds go to die, so to speak. So somebody's going to take it, obviously, because it's a job. But it's one that's very, very difficult to be successful in terms of being able to do from a fundamental standpoint what's supposed to be done in football. And I think we see it time and time again. No bigger example than giving up a 40-point lead in one quarter to UCLA. That wasn't on the defense. That was on the offense and how they played it. So, I'll leave it at that.
Randy, a big Hokie fan, Virginia Tech fan, says, why do the Hokies continue to struggle recruiting the state of Virginia, the 757, Tidewater area, all those very fertile places, and what's the latest, if any, on staffing there for Fuente?
Well, obviously, when Justin got the job, I think he was encouraged, and I think he was encouraged by keeping a couple of, you know, letting Bud Foster run the defense and keeping the staff and even some guys that have been there a while. That is one of those places, by the way, would fit into the modern-day category of coaches who have been there forever. It's just a thought, nothing that's come out of there. But if you really look at it, they haven't recruited at a high level out of that state in some time. And, you know, sometimes I wonder if it's a little bit of age, stagnation of old staff, and I think it's going to be a focus of a new staff. So, look, I think that we saw some things turn around a little bit with Justin this year on the field. And I'm curious to see if he's now able to hire some better recruiters, some more young, energetic guys that he's been with that may be able to take it to the next level. Because that is the hitting the nail on the head of why that program has not been as good. In essence, it's been a transition that's taken a lot longer than normal because what they've done is basically tried to stay a lot of status quo of the way they did it. Because of, you know, who the coach was there and the success level that they had there. But I do think going forward, Justin's going to have more freedom to do what he wants. And when I say freedom, he could have done whatever he wanted, but I think out of loyalty and out of respect and maybe just out of modesty, just kind of said, let's do it this way. I think now that some of those guys are cycling out, we're going to see what he can do and really put his stamp on the program. Good or bad, I think we're going to begin to see that in the next couple of years, and I think that's going to be reflected in recruiting on the staff.
Gator Brandon says, ask Chris if there's any truth that Lane Kiffin offered Scott Cochran of Alabama an actual on-the-field coaching position to lure him away.
I don't know if he did or didn't, but I know that he's absolutely, that's the type of thing that he's gonna do. He's going to try to be creative with ideas. And he is certainly the type that likes to see if he can get under your skin and rattle cages. So I don't know that to be true because I don't really know Scott doesn't really have, other than at John Curtis in his days at high school, doesn't have any real on-the-field experience that you would want to put him in a position there, and certainly recruiting background. But if it could get him in a position to where you could have him, the thing that would be is taken away from what he does very best and putting him in at a lesser position. So to me, that would be weakening in two spots. But I thought it was real interesting. Let's leave it at that.
I mean, it sounds like Lane Kiffin, doesn't it? Whether it's true or not.
Yeah. And the thing is again, would it be something? Here's the way, if I had to guess, that is something that he made sure that got out to the public. So all the, he's using the, those media guys that, putting it out there. Because he wants it out there to kind of rattle, the Alabama folks that, this is what he's doing. I don't know that that's the most prudent thing to do on your staff. Getting him as your strength coach, which is, likely not going to happen, that would be a real coup. But having to put him on a different part of your staff, that might be different. But, that's typical Lane. That's what you're getting there. That's how he's going to get under people's skin. There's no question.
Chris,
I think
Scott,
he did somebody sent me something yesterday. He was in town, and he's into the social media stuff. He took a picture because he went into high school, and the picture was a two-sided picture. And so he's in Louisiana, and he goes into the high school, and the high school has, I guess, this picture of a Santa Claus or something dressed in LSU garb. And then on the other side was the picture of the Alabama plane there, and it was something along the lines of, what are the possibilities, meaning, go Rebs or
I saw that.
You're
going to
get a lot of that, coming out of Lane here in the days, weeks, and months, and hopefully years to come.
Sam Pittman to Arkansas as the head coach. Chris, I've been very negative. Maybe you're not so negative about that. I don't get it. I just don't.
Well, that search was the most screwed up of all the searches, because Lane's dad, Monty, really wanted him to go to Arkansas, and he really had an interest, Lane did. Lane Kiffin wanted to go to Arkansas back when he was with the Raiders. When they hired Petrino from the Falcons, Lane wanted that job and thought he had the job. And this was before, obviously, he went to Tennessee. Pardon me. So he really had an interest in it. But the Jerry Jones and, of course, the Tyson Chicken guy usually goes along with what Jerry wants, really blocked it, maybe strong, but he discouraged it hiring. So the first thing I'm thinking of is Hunter Yurecek wanted to hire Lane Kiffin twice, at Houston and now at Arkansas, and he's 0-2, and it really has nothing to do with him. I mean, and of course, he could have hired, quote-unquote, whoever he wants, but you know how the politics work. You hire whoever you want, and, then you're not – then they're not answering your phone calls, the money boosters. That's why being an athletic director is so difficult in today's world. So Jimmy Sexton, actually Lane's agent, really tried to encourage Ole Miss, which, by the way, Lane was thrilled with Ole Miss, I think equally. And, once he looked at it, realized that Ole Miss had a better roster and probably is closer to winning than Arkansas is. I think he's just, you know, tickled pink that he's there at Ole Miss. But the Arkansas, that's an example of, I just talked about, go ahead, Norvell, probably would have been be talking about going into the third year of, you know, of things getting a little bit better. Didn't happen. So they went out, thought they could get Matt Campbell, which was, that was never going to happen. And then they really, you know, Brian Harsin was something that was never going to happen. So they just got into a situation where Jerry Jones wanted Butch Davis, that pure and simple. And then again, the Tyson Chicken guy. So, you know, other, you know, booster factions didn't, Butch is too old, it's not going to work. And so I hate to put it this way, Sam was just kind of the compromise candidate. Love Arkansas, love his time there. And, you know, it just seemed very sloppy. And I love Sam. I hope it works out. To me, you know, why not go after a Bill Clark, who I think would have been great. You know, I'm not saying great in terms of turning Arkansas around, but a good coach that is experienced, that has got the ability to rebuild things. That to me would have made a whole lot of sense. But obviously there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, right-thinking folks involved in that Arkansas search. So, look, Sam is a good recruiter. He's a good line coach. Here's the thing. How is he going to coordinate his staff? Everybody says, oh, he's a great line coach. Well, guess what? He's not going to be coaching the offensive line. Brad Davis is. So, I mean, now can he be, you know, can he put his staff together where he can spend time with Brad to where the offensive line could be as good? Because, again, when you're the head coach, you got to do that. So you got to have, like, Spurrier coach the quarterback or quarterbacks, or Nick's kind of really involved with the defensive backs. They've got to figure that out. So I think staff is always important, but when you're dealing in a case like this, the hiring of your staff is like doubly important, because you've got to cover up a lot of areas that Sam really doesn't have much background in. So I was concerned about Arkansas, and I'm even more concerned now.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get your information.
LandryFootball.com, got all the film room breakdowns, but obviously got working on a lot of recruiting stuff, all this coaching search, a lot of things. Who's going out early for the draft, you name it. We've got it all up in our notebooks and all of our film grade reports. Going to break down all the bowls, so you got it. For our NFL fans, we've got all of that information as well. So check it out. Follow me on Twitter at LandryFootball. And very simple. Holiday special, so 50% off. Great gift for yourself, for a loved one. So take advantage of it today.
All right. Good stuff, Chris. See you next week, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
There he is. Rusty Mansell next. Got to get the bottom of the hour break. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
All right, wrapping it up this afternoon. Still got problems in Bordeaux. Briley Parkway north there at Centennial Boulevard, still working the crash. Just up the road at Ashland City Highway in Briley Parkway, got an accident there. No injuries reported in that one. A couple of cars got together, 65 northbound on the north side of town around exit 86. Vietnam veterans stacked up from Goodlettsville out to Hendersonville right now. Very busy out to Dixon County through Kingston Springs this afternoon. Headed home to Murfreesboro, traffic's getting a little better on 24 east of town. For Commander Chuck, Mike Powers on time traffic.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kalutis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kalutis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
his favorite bourbon, her favorite bottle of wine. Magic moments begin at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. Whether hosting a party or just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, with an impressive array of wine and spirits to choose from. How many times have you been in a supermarket wandering up and down the wine aisle, getting more confused and frustrated by the minute? When you ask for help, they know less than you do. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines. Looking for gift ideas? They can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. Rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Imagine her delight when she unwraps a luxurious spa day from A Moment's Peace, the newly remodeled day spa and salon in Cool Springs. Whether you spend a little or go lavish, you can take comfort that your gift will be treasured, your love on display and a smile on her face. What a thoughtful romantic you are. Give affordable luxury from A Moment's Peace, for her or for both of you. In Cool Springs, across I-65 from Galleria Mall at the intersection of Carruthers Parkway and Baker's Bridge Avenue. Call 224-0770 or buy online anytime at amomentspeace.com.
Best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
Well, with Sam Pittman leaving for the Arkansas job and the Georgia LSU game, I thought I got to get Rusty in here to talk about it. Rusty, how you been, sir?
Oh, man, just walking around with a coffee IV, but I'm surviving.
Oh, I bet. Let's go with Coach Pittman. And look, it's a opportunity to be the head coach at Arkansas. Nobody could blame him. Did you see that from distance happening?
No. And, you know, just talking to some people, it kind of heated up over the weekend. And Sunday obviously got serious. They flew down to Athens, met with him and his wife at their home. And, you know, it's almost that deal where they weren't getting back on the plane without him. And, you know, there were obviously some people that probably didn't take that job. But when they went to Sam Pittman, they had to know, listen, this is our guy. He wants to be here. You know, I think he even said in his press conference that he had his agent reach out and say, listen, tell those guys I'd be interested. So, you know, it was a great situation for him. I mean, what a great guy, great recruiter, great offensive line coach. Everything he did for Georgia, everything he did for this roster, and what he's leaving, not Luke, is I don't know if Matt Luke and him know each other, but Matt Luke just sent him a Christmas card with a big hug in it, because he walked into a room that's absolutely stacked and loaded, and it's because of Sam Pittman.
Rusty Manziel with us. We'll talk some Georgia. We'll talk some recruiting with him. What is going on with recruiting? Have there been any negative repercussions because of Pittman leaving?
They had one decommitment, Joshua Braun out of Florida. And, listen, that was a battle between Florida and Georgia. Young man out of Live Oak, Sewanee, which is about an hour from Gainesville. So, you know, Matt Luke was unable to get in home, but it really doesn't look bad on Matt Luke. It just tells you how close that was between Georgia and Florida. That decision was made with Sam Pittman ultimately tipping that toward Georgia. He took an official visit in May to Florida. He took one in early June to Georgia and committed right after. So, you know, in his little text message to all of us yesterday, he said, listen, I committed to Georgia because of Sam Pittman. And Sam Pittman is no longer there, so my commitment will be void. And fully expect him to go to Florida. Now, Georgia fans are following Matt Luke and Kirby Smart. We were here yesterday in Rome visiting with Tate Ratledge. And that is actually, you know, obviously a very, very key piece of the 2020 class with an elite offensive tackle like that. It was a huge recruiting battle over Tennessee. But, you know, there's been some schools reach out to him. You know, the newest school kind of hear, you know, the buzz around is Clemson's trying to get him to, you know, at least be on campus or something like that, or maybe not sign next week. So, you know, Matt Luke was, from my understanding, he landed yesterday around 8:30. He was here until 11 o'clock last night. I mean, he spent an entire day with Tate Ratledge. So that tells you how important and the priority, especially with the time crunch right now, tells you how important Tate Ratledge is to those guys.
The LSU game, obviously Georgia had some personnel shortcomings, but
sure.
Critiquing it, should that game have been so one-sided?
No, Georgia didn't capitalize on their opportunities. I mean, I was there. I'll tell you this, Georgia wasn't beating LSU. They were not beating LSU. I mean, when you see LSU in person, they look like LSU. I mean, there's a lot of discussions about this and that and what they've done offensively. Let me tell you what they got. They got a freaking alpha male quarterback, and this guy is fantastic to watch in person. Man, he is he's a lot bigger than I thought. He was extremely accurate, Bill. He made every right read. And when they pinned him down, I mean, he hurt him with his feet, and that's the same thing he did against Florida. But you look at Joe Burrow, man, and LSU's always had players. They've always had these. They've had Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham. They've always had first-round receivers. They got first-round receivers again. They got defensive guys. They got Joe Burrow, who is an absolute freak show at quarterback. That's one of the most outstanding performances I've ever seen. But getting back to the original question, Georgia didn't capitalize. They didn't capitalize early. I mean, there was two or three plays in the first couple series there. Their defense actually held on as long as they could and played well. They were just on the field too long. I mean, that game, I told somebody the other day, it was 20-3, I think, at half, and it felt like it was 50-30. And missed some throws early, dropped some balls early, just things that Georgia had to have go their way to stay in that thing to get to the fourth quarter. And it didn't happen. But end of the game, man, they were down to wide receivers that barely play. I mean, with Dominique Blaylock tears an ACL, Kyaris Jackson went out with an ankle, so you missed your basically third, fourth quarter wide receivers. You're already without your first and second wide receiver. You're not beating LSU with that type of personnel.
What's the future with Jake Fromm? Is he staying for sure or not?
You know, I hear different things, so I'm not really, you know, my gut is he's going to stay, but, you know, there's still those couple things I hear every day that, like, he thinks if he's a third rounder now, he might be a third rounder next year. So do you come out because of the next year's draft class is extremely deep? And you know, even with Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, there's, you know, it's deep with other guys. So all that to come into play with him, so – he didn't finish the season great, but NFL teams are going to look at the entire package, the entire sample size, and he had an unbelievable freshman year, had a really good sophomore year, and took a step back this year. I think the thing I'll say about Jake Fromm, when he has pieces around him, Jake Fromm's been really good. When he hasn't, he's had trouble creating. He's had some issues with accuracy. He's had some issues with drops. You know, so it's not all on Jake Fromm, but he definitely took a step back this year, and we'll see where it goes. But, you know, NFL is going to look at sample size and the entire sample size of Jake Fromm. Kids won a lot of games, and he's played well in some big ones.
What's the future at wide receiver at Georgia?
It's good if they can hold on to what they've got. You know, I would imagine Demetrius Robertson's going to come back. Well, it seems like Demetrius Robertson has been in school like 12 years.
Right.
You have Demetrius Robertson, obviously George Pickens, who had a really good second half of the freshman year. They got Dominique Blaylock, who should be back. He's coming back from ACL. You'll have those guys. You'll have Kyaris Jackson, who came on after he was hurt early in the year. But they're going to wind up getting four probably in this class. And those guys are highly recruited. I mean, they went out and got those guys, and that's what they sold them. You know, you look at Georgia's roster, and listen, Georgia's 11-2, and their fans are absolutely pissed off, Bill. I mean, absolutely pissed off. And that's the way it is right now with Georgia. I mean, they're expecting to win a national championship. Kirby has set that tone. And, you know, but listen, when you look at their roster, their defense, their young guys, I mean, Georgia is about to – you think Georgia's defense was good this year? They're about to be nasty on these. Their young guys are outstanding. So they are going to be a force to reckon with. They have got to get their offensive things fixed, and wide receiver is a huge issue right now. They got to add some guys that can run, and they're trying to do that through recruiting.
I know you're close to Mike Bobo. Was there any consideration to him coming back to Georgia?
Not that I was aware of, no. You know, I know him and Kirby. Him and Kirby talk, and they talk daily, and they have for 15 years. So, you know, I kept telling people, listen, I don't know the conversations that are going on, but if they're not a, if there's not a job opening in Georgia, there's no question what's going on. South Carolina came after him hard. You know, probably don't need to mention, but there was another school that was a P5 that was definitely trying to make a run at him as well. So, you know, South Carolina was a place he had some guys he was familiar with. It was back in the South for him. And, you know, Brian McClendon, Thomas Brown, some of those guys he's worked with before. He's known Will Muschamp, obviously played with him at Georgia. So, you know, it was open, and I think it was a right fit for him. But, you know, as far as answering for Georgia, there wasn't an opening. You know, I don't know the behind-the-scenes conversations there ever was, but there wasn't an opening at Georgia for him to come. So that was really a null and void thing that people kept asking me. And I said, listen, if that comes open, then it'd be interesting in my opinion. But it never came open, and it looks like James Coley is going to be the guy that Kirby Smart's going to continue to go with. It, you know, the offensive coordinator, maybe Kirby Smart goes, listen, you know, we didn't have the pieces of the puzzle to do what we wanted to do this year, and you know, stand by your guy. We'll see where it goes.
What are a couple of the names that between now and next Wednesday are the most significant that you're monitoring?
For Georgia's sake, for Georgia's sake, it would probably be, you know, the number one corner in the country, Keely Ringo out of Arizona. He'll be here this weekend. I mean, he's a guy that's 6'2", 205 pounds. He's a 10-400-meter guy. I watched him play against Eric Gilbert in the Adidas National Championship down in Tampa. And, you know, two great competitors, man. They went at it, and I thought, man, those are great. And I had a great time to hug after the game. But, you know, you look at Keely. If you don't get an Eric Gilbert and he goes to LSU and down the line you got to face him, you don't need somebody like Keely Ringo if you're going to play LSU again in the Mercedes-Benz in a couple of years that can cover them. He's a 6'2 kid. You also look at let's talk about Eric Gilbert. Eric Gilbert leaves your state, who's an absolute five-star freak show, every word you want to talk about. If he goes to LSU, well, you better get the other guy that everybody thinks is the number one tight end in the country, and that's 6'7.5", Darnell Washington out of Las Vegas. You know, he's a big-time athlete, tight end that Georgia desperately needs. They have recruited him really, really, really hard. So I think the question is, will Georgia bring in another quarterback? Do they keep Tate Ratledge? And can they nail down these guys, this Arian Smith, a 10-3, maybe the fastest wide receiver in the country? Georgia did not have a vertical threat. They had nobody to replace Mecole Hardman when they lost him early. So you start thinking about a guy like Arian Smith out of Lakeland, Florida. Kirby Smart was in Rome, Georgia in the morning, caught a jet to Lakeland, Florida, south of Tampa, spent the day there, and then jetted back to Northwest Georgia yesterday. So it tells you there's two guys that were very important to him.
I'll ask you for the thousandth time. What's the latest on Zach Evans?
I said this from January until about May. I said, listen, at the end of the day, Texas A&M is going to be a player in this thing. Got through the summer, looked like Alabama for a minute. Late summer, looked like Georgia into the fall. Had a couple off-the-field issues, backed off his recruiting. About October, looked like LSU really had gotten a hold of that thing. Thought he was going to commit to LSU a couple weeks ago. All of a sudden, he shows up on Texas A&M's campus last weekend, and all the buzz here late is on Texas A&M. So for about 5 or 6 months of this year, I was right on that deal. Maybe one time in August, I was right on that deal. So this thing's had many, many twists and turns. And you can have your opinion on Zach Evans. I'll tell you this. If he gets his head right, he is the alpha running back in this class, in my opinion. It would be a huge get for Jimbo Fisher if he could get him late.
Hey, leave me with this. Tank Bigsby there in Georgia going to Auburn. How good of a player is he, the running back?
He's a damn good player. I can't say enough about Tank Bigsby. Listen, I've seen him play now for 4 years. I saw him play against defending state champions last year as a junior. Carried, I think, 38 times for over 300 yards. Sold me that night. Tough. Huge, huge get. Georgia tried to get in there. He shut it down. Going to Auburn, they're going to have to face him. He is a massive pickup for the Auburn Tigers. Not going to sugarcoat that. Love me some Tank Bigsby.
Rusty, appreciate you, bud. See you soon.
Thank you, Bill.
There you go. Rusty Mansell. He owns it too, doesn't he? Did that guy not own it? He owns the topic. I love it. All right. That was some unusual guesting for Crazy Charlie and I. We usually only have one on Thursday, so had to guest it up a little bit. Had some things we needed to get to. All right, break time coming right back. Gog in Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Whether you're a startup business or an established brand, Stripe Design and Print want to help you ensure you establish the best brand for your business. From new projects to updating existing files, Stripe Design and Print has the expertise to turn your project into a reality. With banners, apparel, business cards, and more, Stripe Design and Print has you covered. Log on for a free consultation at StripeDesignPrint.com. That's StripeDesignPrint.com.
Whether you're a casual golfer or an avid golfer, let Edwin Watts Golf Shop help you fill your wish list with the season's best deals in golf, featuring special holiday offers from Bushnell. Save $70 on the Bushnell Hybrid, now only $329.99. And save $30 on the Bushnell Phantom GPS, now only $99.99. And while you're there, register to win free golf balls for a year. Edwin Watts Golf Shop offers an exclusive 90-day satisfaction guarantee. Edwin Watts Golf Shop, helping golfers' holiday dreams come true since 1968.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Sunny skies, and we're going to get up to 53 today. Cloudy tonight and down to 35. Could see rain tomorrow as we wrap up your work week. Otherwise, cloudy skies, not as warm. We'll get up to 50. Utilizing the resources of the Weather Bug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Ryan. Sports Radio WNSR.
If it's the P5, the G5, or a neutral site game in Council Bluffs, the Bill King Show has it covered.
It's not possible to have three guests. Now, that's more than we typically do on Thursday. That own the topic more than Brian Driscoll, Chris Landry, Rusty Mansell. It's not possible to exceed the knowledge quotient than those three guys that we just had here. And again, Thursday's typically not a big guesting day. Usually it's Chris Landry. We just had some topics that I felt we needed to fine tooth comb a little bit, which we did. Quincy on Twitter. Bill, do you still have the LSU is a 800-pound gorilla with a chainsaw for a bleep clip? I think we do. We play it all the time, Crazy Charlie. Oh, we had. Oh, okay. All right. The system decided, right when we did that, the system decided to act up. Anyways, we'll get it.
No, yes. Someone decided to schedule too many guests, so the system is backed up.
Oh, the system is backed up. Okay, gotcha. Anyways, yes, Quincy, we play that all the time. And when we have a moment, we'll play it again. Yes, it's that clip is popular. It's one that has stood the test of time. You know, that clip is almost 10 years old. It's from 2011. The last G word, I'll go ahead and use it, great LSU team. Now, they showed up to the championship game against Alabama down in New Orleans. We were there without a game plan offensively, and they got destroyed. by Alabama, but that was a G word team. Yes, I think it's fair to go there. Jim in Jupiter. Bill, Georgia has shown they are not ready to be the best. Fromm is overrated, still have tremendous talent, and will continue to be the team to beat in the East, and still will continue to have great recruiting classes. Well, the knock is always going to be, until they prove otherwise, basically what Jim and Jupiter just said. Yes, you have really sexy recruiting rankings every year, which is good. Stars count. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's a good thing. And you win lots of games every year. But you're still not the last team standing since 1980. So we're going on 40 years. That's going to be the knock. Now, Georgia fans sometimes, maybe not all of them, but some of them get defensive when having to hear that. I get it. They're attacking your school. You don't like that. That's a normal reaction from a fan from basically any school. But it's true. Whether you like it or not, it's true. You've got the most talent by far in the SEC East, okay? And you have similar talent to Alabama. And most years you have similar, if not better talent than LSU. But you're not the last team standing again. Heck, you had Alabama beat twice. You couldn't close it. So that's going to be the knock. Kirby wins lots of games, but he just doesn't win the game. So the only way to erase that off the critique list is to prove it wrong. It's the only way. I've gone through this, and I'm not comparing Kirby Smart to Bobby Bowden. Kirby has many years to coach before we can make any kind of comparison. But before Bowden won his first one in 93, and I've told you this ad nauseum on the show, we took calls almost every day. Bill, Florida State's this new, sexy, real athletic, snazzy offense. But they can't win the big one, Bill. Where's the national championship, Bill? I'm sick of hearing about this. What has Florida State done? And this is, again, prior to 93. Yeah, they're fast and they're athletic and they score points and they're fun to watch. But what have they done ultimately, Bill? I mean, come on. I had to hear that. And you know what? To that date, that critique was, I don't think, unfair. I think it was a reasonable. Now, they erased that by winning even bigger. A couple natties. They owned the ACC. They did it. Yeah, they took care of business. But before that, I got the same type critique. Kirby Smart is going to be held to that standard whether people like it or not. What have you done? Just Bendis must have missed it earlier. Bill, ask Landry if he heard about Baby Kiff trying to hire the Bama staff like Scott Cochran. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. And Chris, that's what Chris said. The it was all over Twitter. Baby Kiff allegedly, and again, I don't know if this is true, tried to hire Scott Cochran, and to make it more enticing, said, I'll give you a position on the field. Now, I don't know. Scott Cochran's not qualified for a position on the field, right? I that's why I kind of doubt that. Scott Cochran coming over as your strength and conditioning guy would be a good hire, for sure. He's not leaving Alabama for Ole Miss, I wouldn't think. Not for that. But I'll also say this. There are, and I don't know what the percentage is, but I hear from Alabama fans. I asked Kevin about this too. And Scott Cochran is, along with Mickey Marotti up at Ohio State, the two probably most well-known strength and conditioning names out there. Well-known. And Alabama fans. Cochran gets a lot of notoriety. He's on commercials, Twitter. He's real popular. But I've heard some grumbling from Alabama fans that don't like him. Don't think he's doing a good job. They think that his style is leading to these Alabama injuries that seem to be prevalent every year. Even in camp before the season starts, like this year, Dylan Moses. Yeah, they point to that as a thing. Hour 3 coming up.